Yeah, I think what people really want to know again is, does my animal love me? And I hear that question so often, you know, and I just want to say to everybody, please just know not every animal will express that love in the same way.
Are you ready to get intimate? What is intimacy? And where and how do you find it? Welcome to the Getting Intimate podcast, a daring journey into the heart of intimacy with you, your senses, the whole world, and all the creatures in it. Intimacy can be a pretty wild ride, filled with both longing and apprehension. But what if the vulnerability of intimacy isn't something to be avoided, but celebrated? What if getting intimate is the key to finally coming alive? Discover more with guests from all walks of life and your host, Katrina Volland. So welcome to this episode of the Getting Intimate podcast. And this time we're exploring the intimacy that is possible with all the creatures and critters of this planet, horses, dogs, animals. And that's our guide. I've invited Susie Godsey. And Susie's ability to be intimate with and listen to and receive from animals is magical. So welcome, Susie.
Thank you so much, Katarina. I'm so happy to be here with you. Thank you for that introduction.
How did you start? Like, how did you start talking with animals? Was it when you started with Access, or did it come before? Have you always had this connection with animals, or?
I always had an affinity to them. And, you know, I would always sit around and just really have a connection. But I took several animal communication classes way, way early on in my life, and it never really worked for me. And I didn't know why, because, you know, the animal communicators were talking that, you know, you should go into a meditation and then you start imagining things, and then the animals will communicate to you in movies or in images and all of that. And to me, that never really was true. And so I disregarded everything else that I had been experiencing, because I thought it had to come through movies. And even to this day, it's, for me, it's more like a sentence that comes through, or I can't even really describe it. It's just all of a sudden I know something and I don't even know where it's coming from, but it's not coming as a movie. And so, you know, so for a long, long time, I thought, well, I'm not an animal communicator because I'm not doing it right.
Right. Well, so it's interesting because I think we all, in a strange way, I think everybody doubles a bit in talking to animals, but we mainly talk to them as if they're people, like, you know, and we think they have feelings like we do. They think they get hurt in the way that we do. And at the same time, we kind of know that's not true. So when you, like you say, you just know. So how do you communicate with an animal? Like, if, let's say, an animal you don't know now, like you meet a cow, how do you communicate with a cow?
Yeah, I mean, so in a way, to me, it's just getting present. And you can get present with an animal that you are with, or you can do it with an animal that's somewhere remotely. I don't think there's a big difference in a way of the connection. You know, the connection can be as far away as thousands of kilometers, and it doesn't really matter. It's just really that you energetically just tune in. And, you know, I think, Kat, you know, too, when we're doing that with people, when we're facilitating or when we're being around people that we're connecting to, it's very similar. It's just that we are so trained to go by the verbal feedback we're getting, or even like physical cues that we're getting from someone else's body, that we know, oh, we're connected, and oh, we're talking, and we you know, we understand each other. But with animals, we go immediately into doubt, because it's not the spoken word that is the connection. And so we go into, oh, did I get that? Or, you know, what was that all about? And then, like you said, we do a lot interpret into animals that they function like people, which really they don't.
Well, so if you look at what people long for, because one of the things that when we read about animals, for example, old people that have animals live longer. And my sense is that a lot of people who have pets, at least, and I guess also horses, there is a longing for some kind of intimacy with their animals or something like that. So when you work with people, what is it? What do they know about that? Do they know they're longing for that, or is it something else? Or what's your experience?
Yeah, I think what people really want to know again is, does my animal love me? And I hear that question so often, you know. And I just want to say to everybody, please just know, not every animal will express that love in the same way. Mm. You know, some animals are super cuddly, and they will constantly want to basically sit on top of you and really show you that they want to be there on top of your body or with your body most of the time. And there are animals that are more standoffish, that don't look for that physical contact. That doesn't mean that they don't like you. They're just different. And I think we just have, and we can have intimacy with those animals too. So It's not always the physical touch that has to be in place, but it can also just be the way that you can be present with this animal. And what do I mean by that? Just to really be with them and without having to do anything. So often, you know, we also think we have to constantly do something or entertain. Yes, there is some of that, but also just being. You know, my horses sometimes so enjoy when I just stand with them. Mm. And we're not doing anything. Mm. And they just relax, and I can perceive them just so enjoying it, just me standing there.
And I've experienced that with you when you showed me sometimes because I'm a little awkward with horses still, and you'll stand with me just in the box with the horse, and there's a huge intimacy by just being. And for me, it's also the intimacy being with another body, like in a horse case, a big body, a big, strong body that you just get to stand beside and maybe just have a hand on. So that like exchange that occurs between bodies when it's animals and people seems to me to have this healing and nurturing effect as well. So I know you do the SE classes, and that also includes horses. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, like the healing effects of being willing to be in close proximity and like an intimate space with animals, and also work on them and receive from them at the same time.
Yeah, I think so the SE classes are, it's an energetic body work basically, and it can be done on any body, really truly any body. And we started using it on horses for various reasons. Of course, the first one was because Gary Douglas loves horses. And so, you know, I was basically recording all of his classes at some point. And when he was doing like a conscious horse, conscious rider class, you know, I was there, and there was a horse that had something going on with its back. And Gary said, "Susie, work on that horse over there. You know, do the stuff you do on me. Do it on that horse." I was like, okay. And I think that was my first official session on a horse with this energy. And it was really interesting because I immediately got working with the horse that the horse is very clear on how much it desires to receive, where it wants you to touch. And then it also lets you know when it's done. And that's so different from working on a person, because we are so trained, you know, like, oh, we're going to have a massage. It's an hour and a half. And we lay down and we basically, you know, flip over when it's time to flip over. But we don't allow ourselves to move during the session, even if our body maybe has an urge. I think we don't even allow ourselves to have that urge, or to even say prematurely, hey, I'm done. Thank you. I want to go now. You know, we wouldn't do that. And so the horses really have showed me so much. And that's when I also realized, wow, this is a contribution for other people to actually touch these animals. And horses are a bit intimidating. Like you said, it's a huge body, you know, and and also you have to be willing to penetrate into their body with energy, because there's no way that you can massage a horse in a way that you could a person, you know, they're just too big. So it's a challenge. It's a real challenge for us to learn how to step up our energy and to be present with such a big animal and be willing to really be like, okay, where does this animal want me to touch them? What energy am I being here? Am I being enough energy? You know, because sometimes they look at you like, could you turn it up, please?
Well, in that interaction, you're also invited to become more of you. So when you have groups of people that are then in SE classes with horses that you work on, how does it change people?
The biggest feedback that I get is that people afterwards often say that, wow, I now really perceive the energetics of body work in a very different way. They might have done other body work before, but now all of a sudden they're like, wow, I get it now. That's kind of what the biggest feedback is. But also the idea of really turning up your energy levels, where, you know, we often hold back, or we're intimidated, or we're not sure. And so when we're not sure, we kind of retreat. Mm-hmm. And the horses, like you said, they invite us to step up, you know, and a lot of people really come out of that more confident and more of that sense of, wow, yeah, I can do this. And it's actually like a contribution. And now I know that it is a contribution. And they can see that the horses are really receiving. And mm-hmm. so that also helps, you know, just to
truly
have that feedback, right?
Yeah. And it's empowering in ways that is hard to describe, because it's also a being that you don't usually get that kind of feedback from. So, that's amazing. I've never looked at it that way. I did that. So what is it like for you watching someone like me who, well, over the years gotten more comfortable with horses, but still is like a little awkward, a little afraid sometimes, kind of get over it a little bit, and then like, would you want to shake me a bit? Or what do you want to do with somebody who's like...
No, because, Kat, honestly, a lot of it is also just like being with an animal more often, you know? Like, how often do you really be around your horse? I mean, if you count the days out of the whole year, you know, that makes a difference too. Like, if you were to be able to be with your horse every day, it would change something too. And I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying, please give yourself some credit here, because you are willing to be different every time you are engaging with your horse. And that's huge. And then the rest is just, in a way, repetition without being repetitive. It's like, it's not that every time you be with a horse, it's the same. Like, you may have bad days, you may have great days, and everything in between. So it's not that it will be the same, but the more often you are getting to engage, it gets different. It's different, but it's easier, and it's, you know, it just changes all the time. But there is something to be said about just doing it over and over. So no, I would never want to shake somebody, because it's not about that, you know? And I think every encounter is so precious, and it doesn't really matter where the person is at. You know, I've seen people for the first time touch a horse, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so there you
Well, and that's such a beautiful answer too. And it actually, I totally get what you're saying with, so every time it's new, it's not the same. It's new, but it's not often enough to become every day for me, which is very correct. Well, so if somebody is listening to this and they're wondering how to like start a communication with animals or an animal? Like, what, where could they start? Even if they don't have one on their own, like, what would you suggest? Like, what could be a good place to start playing?
Yeah, well, pretty much anywhere that you have access to an animal, I would start there. You know, it could be that you have some birds outside your window because you're feeding birds and they're there. So that's a start right there. You could also go to a zoo, or you could go to an animal shelter, or, you know, there's so many possibilities. Maybe a friend has an animal and they're willing to let you play. And when you have these encounters, the important part is that you really take some space for yourself. And I'm using the word space, not time, because to me it is really that sense of stillness, that if you're willing to be still and just get the energy of still, okay, and if you can have that energy, then you start to be able to receive communication. And then recognize that not every animal is going to chat with you. Mm. You know, in the Talk to the Animals class, we go actually to the zoo as part of our little outing to meet some different types of animals. And it's really interesting how some animals are very much like, hey, how, what, you want to talk to me? Here I am. And others are like, talk to the hand, you know, they don't care. And, you know, and so please know that every animal that you're going to connect with, it's going to be different energy. It's going to be, like we said in the beginning, different personalities. So don't make yourself wrong if it works easier with another, or you can get a connection to an animal. Just keep playing with it and just keep practicing, because this is a language you do know. It's just a language you haven't practiced. So stop practicing. And that's really it. Get to it and start practicing.
Thank you. And you know, it's funny with the space that you talk about, because I have an enormous amount of visitors from the forest. There's deers, of course, there's always deers, but there are also a lot of rabbits that jump over here. I have so many squirrels that like run over here and just come. And my sense is that it's because there is a calmness in the space. So they're willing to just kind of hang out here. Even when I come out, they often stay around, like they look at me a little bit and wonder if I'm, you know, if I'm okay with them being there. And if I am, they just stay. So,
yep.
And that space, that's really my sense that that's what actually draws them here. So yep. Going to be that even more, because I really do enjoy having them here.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you are outside with one of them and you recognize that they are now looking at you, that's when you can sort of just very gently ask them a question, you know, are you aware of me? Yes, no. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to start with yes and no, because then it might be a little bit easier. You know, don't start a big philosophical question like, how is life in the woods for you? Or something like that, you know?
Thank you so much for coming on and for talking about this. So if somebody wants to come to class with you or explore this, where do they find out more?
Well, I think the best place might be my website, susiegotzi.com. So
if you're interested in communicating more with animals or your animals or any animal, then go and see and check out Susie's website. And thank you so much, Susie.
Thank you so much, Kat. What a pleasure to speak with you. And I love your interviewing style always. And I love your questions. You are such a wonderful person to chat with.
Thank you. Thank you so much.